Nehemiah chapter number 8. I'll give everyone an opportunity to find your place in the Bible. If you do not have a Bible with you, please do not hesitate to ask someone next to you that you could look on with them as we read the Word together, and then as we start preaching from the Bible, you'll need it for points of reference as we preach this evening. Nehemiah chapter number 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So you follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month." Now, I'll stop right here and just say something about that. That, of course, was the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. And if you go back, we've been studying in Wednesday night through the book of Leviticus, you would find the importance of these feast days. This was the first of what is known as a fall festival. There were spring festivals, and then there was fall festivals, and this is the first of the fall festivals. Now, typically speaking, the Feast of Trumpets is, of course, what we look at as resurrection or rapture, the rapture of the church, when we're going to be taken out of here. The trump's going to sound, amen? And we're going out of here, amen? And so that's something you should know. It's when they gathered here, it was a festive time. It was a time of a festival. It was a holy convocation. Now, verse number 3, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." Let's pray together. Father, would you help us as we look into your word again this evening? We need your help. God, I pray that you would open our understanding, that we could understand the truth of your word. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the preaching of your word. God, fill me with your power. And Lord, I pray that as the word of God goes forth today, that it would go forth as it is in power, as the very word of God. May it be received by your people, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the very word of God. And may it work effectually in our lives as we yield ourselves to its teaching, and we submit ourselves to you, O Lord. I pray, God, that a work would be done in every heart. Whatever the need is, the greatest need of every person in this building tonight would be met as your Holy Spirit ministers your word to our hearts. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, if you'll remember this morning, we talked about in these first verses, we talked about the people of the book. Remember, the great call was, Ezra, we want you to come, but we just don't want you to come. We want you to bring the book. Amen? Right? Isn't that what they said? In verse number 1, they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. Bring the Bible. Amen? That's essentially bringing it up to our day, this present day. That would be like saying, we're going to call the man of God, and we're going to say, man of God, we want to see you, but we want to hear you more than we want to see you. Bring the book. Amen. Bring the Bible. Bring the Bible. Bring the book of the law. And we said that this was the people of the book. In other words, they gathered, they had a hunger for the word of God, and they said, bring the Bible. Bring the Bible. Listen, when you come to church, there's certainly nothing wrong with fellowship. Fellowship with the preacher, fellowship with the people, fellowship with one another. There's nothing wrong with social activities and events, but the main purpose of church is to bring the book. Amen. The main purpose of the church is to worship, is to be edified, to be trained, to be made fit for the ministry. See, God has a will for your life. And as you hear the word of God preached, and as the word of God is preached, God will begin to grow you and mature you and help you to find your purpose in his work. See, that's the reason God left us here. If God didn't have a purpose for us, he'd save us and call us on to heaven, right? But God leaves us here because he has a purpose for us, and you find that purpose in God's word. You will always find God's will in God's word. So they were a people of the book. And we said they were a worshipful congregation, right? They worship. What's the first thing we said they did? They attended, right? Their attendance. Remember, they gathered. Did you underline that word? Gathered. Now, who gathered? Now, I'm not going to go through everyone, but you can go through here over and over and over again. And this is the phrase that you'll read. Okay, look at verse number one. All the people. You see it there? Verse number one. And all the people. Now, look over, if you would, in verse number five. In the sight of all the people. Look at the latter part of verse number five. All the people stood up. Look at verse number six. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people. You could go on and on and on. Look at verse number 9. Right in the middle of verse number 9, it says, taught the people, said unto all the people. The last part of verse number 9 says, for all the people wept over and over. Look at verse number 11. So the Levites stilled all the people. Verse number 12, and all the people. Over and over and over again, you'll read that phrase. You know why? Because God wants all the people to hear His word. Amen. God wants all of His people to hear His word. If you're saved, God wants you to hear His word so you can grow. If you're not saved, God wants you to hear His word so He can prick your heart and show you your need to be saved, and so that faith could be generated in your heart as a gift, so that you could have the faith to trust what God has said about His Son so that you could be saved. Amen. See, God wants all the people to hear the word. Not some. Not some. Now, I've said this before, and I'll never understand it, other than a person just has to be really, really backslid or not saved to make this kind of statement. Brother Dave and I were working on the job site a while back, and we were listening to preaching. And the man was preaching now. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit tonight. Preaching, I said. I mean, he was laying it down. And me and Brother David was just about to have a spell. Amen. We was whistling while we worked. Amen. We were just enjoying it. Had a little pep in our step. Little joy of the Lord is His strength. Amen. Is that what the Bible teaches? Right here in this chapter, actually, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at the latter part of verse number 10. The Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Amen. You say, well, I'm feeling kind of sluggish, preacher. You start listening to some Bible preaching, and God will put some joy in your heart, and you'll have a little extra pep in your step. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And so we had a little pep in our step, and one of us said, I don't know which one. What do you think about that, brother? He said, I don't know. I can take it or leave it. I got to tell you, it stunned me. I hope I never get to the place, and I'm not saying this pharisaically, okay? I'm not saying this looking down on others. I hope to God I never get to the place where I have that attitude toward Bible preaching, that I can take it or leave it. Brethren, I need it. You need it. This community needs it. This world needs it. We need Bible preaching. Bible preaching. So the Bible says here that they gathered themselves together. And the Bible says they did it as one man. They did it in unity. So there we have the attendance. Then we talked about, in the latter part of verse number 3, we talked about the attention. They were attentive. Sometimes you just have to pray, God, help me to stay focused, right? God, help me to stay focused. I've got a lot on my mind. Brother Kenny brought a great message on that, about uniting our hearts, right, to fear Him on Tuesday night. How that sometimes, I mean, listen, our minds can be over here, and our hearts can be over here, and our wills can be over here, and we just have all kinds of things going on in our life, and we come to the house of God, and we sit down, and there's so much going on that we really don't get the full scope of what God's wanting to give us. And so we have to pray and say, God, calm me. God, get me focused. I need to hear from Your word tonight. I'm in a bad way. I need some spiritual food. I need some manna. I need some bread from heaven. Amen. I need some meat. I need something I can take with me into a wicked world. Now, many are going to go out into a wicked world tomorrow. There's some of these young people going to go to a school where they mock Christianity, where they're mocked because they live for Jesus. Some of you are going to go to a job where they laugh at you when they see you pray over your food. Listen to me. You need to get something when you come to the house of God so that when you go, you can have something to stand on in that environment. Amen. So clear your mind. Stay focused. Stay focused. And so the Bible says they were attentive. Now, the reason I called attention to that point is because they were standing there, not sitting now. You're sitting on a nice, comfortable chair. You've been to some of these old churches where they had those benches. I remember Dr. Thompson took us to one of these old Catoctin churches up in the back in the woods up in here. I mean, those benches they had was just wood, and they were, you wouldn't sit there long. But those people did. See, they didn't have the ease, the comfort, the air condition. Their air condition was just raising the window and a bunch of ladies giving it to us. Amen? Well, I tell you, we're spoiled. These people stood outside for 6 hours and listened to a man read the law of Moses. And they gave their attention, their undivided attention to it. That says something. Now, I'm saying that what we ought to do is say, God, help me. It is a battle. I understand that. It's a battle. The mind, we heard that from Brother Domley this past week. It kept coming up. The mind is the battleground. It's the battleground of the believer. And we just have to get our mind focused in this hour on the Word of God. All right? Now, I want to say something. I'm not indicting anyone. I would prefer, when you come to Fellowship Baptist Church, that you leave your cell phone in your pocket, your purse, in your vehicle, or at home. Because that thing will distract you. You say, well, I'm just going to follow you on in the Scripture. See, I don't know. I don't know about trusting the flesh like that. Why don't you just get you a Bible? Amen. I'm not being ugly now. I'm not. I understand there's Bible apps and there. I understand all of that. Let me change that. That's not true. I don't understand any of that. I understand that they are those things, but I don't understand any of them. I'm just not a tech person. But I just believe you ought to get you a Bible just to make sure that you don't get diverted. All right? That your attention doesn't get drawn from something. Right? You might be in Nehemiah 8, verse number 3, looking at and the people were attentive, and then you get an ESPN alert that your favorite football team scored a touchdown. And you're gone from that. Now, don't you think those kind of things don't happen? And they can happen to you, and they can happen to me. So we just need to guard. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, right? Right, brethren? Can you say amen, amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So, attentiveness. Then we talked about affirmation, right? The amen. Amen, they said in verse number 6. Nehemiah blessed the Lord, the great God. Now, what's that mean? That means Nehemiah done a little preaching. Ezra done a little preaching in Nehemiah 8:6. And he blessed the Lord. He talked about how great God was. Notice what the scripture says. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people were so moved by it that all the people answered, amen. Amen. And they lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now that is a worshipful congregation. Wouldn't you agree? Now, watch this next step. It goes from a worshipful congregation and a people of the book to the preaching of the book and faithful exposition. Now this is where we close this morning. Exposition. You need to know about what exposition is. You need to know about expositional preaching. You need to know about expositional teaching. You need to know what it is. I said this morning. I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I encourage you to do the same. Exposition, to lay open, to expose, to bear, to give explanation or interpretation, to explain, to make sense of, or to give meaning of. And that's exactly what they've done. You see, the Bible says, notice here with me. Look, if you would, at the very beginning of verse number 5. And Ezra opened the book. Well, that's the first thing a preacher ought to do. Let's talk about this faithful exposition. Let's talk about preaching for just a moment. All right? Now, what is preaching? Now, I want you to listen to me. Some of this stuff that's being passed off as preaching is not preaching. So I want you to hear me now. All right? Just because a man's screaming, that's not preaching. He might be in pain. Amen. So just because a man's screaming and spitting, that doesn't mean he's preaching. And there's a difference between preaching and teaching. Not all teaching is preaching, and not all preaching or teaching is preaching, but all preaching should have teaching. Amen. You ought to be saying something with a little depth, with a little Bible doctrine in it. So notice what the scripture says here. Let's look first of all at what they did. Here come the people. They were hungry. All right, now listen carefully. God put this in here for a reason. They were hungry. And they said, hey, let's call old Ezra, the scribe, and bring the book. Bring the Bible, right? Now, if you'll turn a few pages back toward Genesis, you'll come to the book of Ezra. And I want you to turn to chapter number 7. Ezra was a man that these people chose for a purpose. What kind of man ought to be preaching? Well, let's see what God says. Now, we're not going to go through the qualifications tonight, but I will tell you, the Bible has qualifications for a preacher. Amen. You can say amen. Now, it doesn't mean that he's perfect, but he ought to be blameless. Right? Doesn't mean that he's a boss hog, but it does mean he ought to have his home in order. If you can't rule your own home, how are you going to rule the church of God? Isn't that what the Bible says, brethren? The Bible teaches this. The Bible. Man ought to not be a novice. He ought to have a little wherewithal. Ought to have a little wisdom about him, right? The Bible teaches this. All right? And a lot of folks not looking to the scripture when they go to choose their pastor or who they get to bring the book. And it's hurting them. It's hurting them. Notice Ezra chapter 7. Now, there's many things we could say about this man, but I'm going to give you just a couple. We're going to talk about three things about faithful exposition, okay? We're going to talk about the man, we're going to talk about the method, and we're going to talk about the message. Number one, the man, all right? So they called a man, all right? They didn't call a woman. They didn't call a boy. They called a man. I want you to preach to us, right? You got that? A man. Want you to preach to us. Want you to bring that book. That law of Moses. Bring the word of God with you. We're hungry to hear what heaven has to say. Bring the book. And so they chose a man with purpose. Now God uses a man. The Bible says there was a man whose name was God, whose name was John. He was sent from God. Amen. Amen. If you don't think God uses men, you're mistaken. God uses people. Aren't you glad that he does? So God doesn't use people. Listen, we're what God wants to use. God wants to use us. God uses us to get out his word. Amen. Ezra chapter 7, look at verse number 6. The Bible says Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. I want you to highlight that phrase or somehow underline it. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. You know what this tells me? He was a studious man. He was prepared. I wouldn't walk across the street, and I'm not being smart aleck here. I wouldn't walk across the street to listen to a person preach that wasn't prepared. A man that's going to preach the word of God, a man that's going to teach the word of God, ought to spend time in the word of God. Say amen with me now. Amen. You ought to get something from heaven that you can give God's people. We ought to, listen, it ought to make us fearful. And I believe that in this church, we have a staff that are fearful. We fear God. We fear what it would be like to stand up here and fail God and fail God's people. I don't want to fail God, and I don't want to fail God's people. And the Bible says that when they called Ezra, there was a purpose behind it. They said, now there's a man who is studious. There's a man who's ready. There's a man who's prepared in his mind. He's done some study. He just doesn't get up and open his mouth and expect something to come out. You got to put some work in. Amen. Now, Sunday school teachers, listen to me. I don't think anyone here would do this. I don't know. I hope not. But the time to study your lesson is not Saturday night. Sunday school lessons ought to begin at the very latest on Monday. But maybe Sunday night after the service, you ought to begin thinking about what you're going to be teaching the next Sunday. And you ought to be studying and reading and praying so that you can get something from God to give those people that God asked you to teach. Number one, the Bible says he was a ready scribe in verse number 6. Look at verse number 10. For Ezra, I mean Ezra chapter 7 in verse number 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Now I like this. Not only had Ezra prepared his mind by being a ready scribe and being, listen, prepared, but he prepared his heart. He got with God and he was willing to obey what he was going to be preaching. See, this book has do's and don'ts in it, whether we like it or not. Now that's not all this book is. But I'm here to tell you now, the Bible has some things in it that God just says, you shouldn't do it. Amen. And God expects us to not do it if he said not to do it. And then there's some things that God says, I want you to do. And we ought to do what God said to do. Now, I understand the struggle. I understand the flesh is contrary to the spirit. And there, listen, the flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to the other. And there's a constant battle going on. You've been fighting it today? Amen. Did you fight it yesterday? Come on, folks. You fight it yesterday? You did. The flesh and the spirit are at odds with one another. But the Bible says here that this man that they called was, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Why? To do it. You know, if we're not careful as teachers, as preachers, we'll seek the law of the Lord to know it. I'm going to say that again. If we're not careful as preachers and teachers, we'll seek the law of the Lord to know it so we can teach it. But that wasn't Ezra's first priority. Notice what the Bible says here about this man of God. It says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord to do it. Now watch what happens. And to teach it. You see, not just to teach it. Now, I have to guard against this. I want to give you something when I stand and preach. When I stand and teach and preach, I want to give the people that God has put under my ministry, I want to give them something. So I don't want to just get to this, to where, all right, I'm studying so I can teach something. I want God to show me something maybe that's lacking in my life that I need to start doing. You need to do that too. Amen. The Bible teach that? See, that's why Ezra was a ready scribe. Because the Bible says here in verse number 10 that he sought the law of the Lord to do it first and then to teach it. By the way, if you're doing it, there's more to your teaching it. If you're not doing it, it doesn't take much to find out that you're not going to do a very good job of teaching it. You're not going to do it with any authority. Right? Amen. So there's the man. All right, let's turn back now to Nehemiah chapter 8. So we have this man. They called him, and they said, we want you to bring the book. And he brought it. And in verse number 6, the Bible says, or verse number 5, he opened the book. You see that? If you see it, say amen. Amen. And then look, if you would, in verse number 3. Verse number 3 speaks about him reading therein. So in verse 5, it speaks of him opening the book. In verse 3, he read the book. In verse number 6, he's blessed the Lord, the great God. He's preaching the book. All right? Now, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? I want you to think about that for a moment. We live in a society, we live in a generation where people are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, we're living in that society where folks want to come to a public setting and a man sit on a stool and maybe have some colored lights and sit there, you know, all dressed down and just sit there all relaxed and want to talk about God. I'm not the least bit interested in that. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. What you need and what I need, now I didn't say our flesh doesn't like it. We need straight, strong, spirit-filled Bible preaching. Amen. Amen. You know, when folks start getting that little itch saying, well, you know, I don't know. I think God might be leading us away from Fellowship Baptist Church. You don't like preaching is what the problem is. More times than not, when a person starts getting that feel, well, I feel like God's leading us away from the church. Doesn't have to be fellowship. Where there's good, straight, strong, spirit-filled Bible preaching, and then someone says, well, I don't know. Think it might be time to move. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Most of the time, folks don't want to hear preaching. You listening to me? Preaching. We need preaching. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. Turn, if you would, to Matthew, just for a moment. Matthew chapter 3. I hear folks saying a lot these days, well, you know, preacher, it really doesn't make a difference. Preaching, teaching, they're one and the same. Now, there's nobody here that believes that, I hope. Preaching and teaching are not the same. Preaching has a herald to it. That's what the word comes from, a herald. You know what a herald is, don't you? It's someone that steps out. They used to blow the horn. Every king's court had a herald. And he would step out and they would blow the horn to get the people's attention. And then he would start out, hear ye, hear ye. He was a herald. And he would herald the king's command. That's where our word, the very root of our word preaching comes from. It is said as a commandment of the king, and it is said with an urgency. I'll never forget the first time that my grandfather-in-law, Gene's dad, heard me preach after the service, and I was a young man then. And I mean, when I would preach, I'd get wringing wet with sweat. And I was standing at the door, and as he was leaving out, and he said, he was just serious as he could be. He said, son, you better slow down. You're going to have a heart attack. He was concerned about me. And I said, well, God, I'm going to be all right. God's going to take care of me. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, you better slow down. He said, you're going to have a heart attack getting all excited like that. And I said, well, God, that's preaching. See, he didn't know. He'd been used to hearing teaching. Teaching. He got saved, and then he heard some preaching. By the way, he took a liking to it. Amen. He did. I believe all saved people love preaching. If you don't, I don't believe you're right with God. I don't believe anybody that's saved, that if you're saved, y'all love preaching. I said, let me ask you something, guy. Your house is on fire. You're back in your bedroom asleep. Who you want telling you about that? Me or that preacher? One that he brought up, little teacher. Who you want? Guy. Now, guy, it's time to get out of bed now. You might want to get out of the house. It's on fire. If you don't get out in time, you might die from smoke inhalation. It's not going to help anybody. No. Hey! Yeah! Get up! Your house is on fire! Get out! Get out! Hey, man. Man, my house is on fire. I want somebody to mean business with me. You better get out. You say, well, my house is not on fire. Well, your soul might be if you're not saved. See, I'm glad. Listen, I'm so thankful in my soul that I understood what preaching is. I understand the importance and the place of preaching. You're in Matthew chapter number 3. You're there. I want to talk to you about this. Now, I want you to imagine something. Here's John the Baptist. How many can get a mental picture just for a moment? And I'm going to close here in just a second. Just in a moment of John the Baptist. I mean, the man was wearing camel's hat. The man came out of the wilderness eating wild locusts and honey. I mean, here we go now. You ready? Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist teaching a little old sermon in the wilderness of Judea. I don't think so. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? Oh, John the Baptist was laying the axe to the root. Amen? Amen. Listen to me. John the Baptist was rearing back and letting her rip. That's what we need. That's what this country was built on. Hear me now. Hear me. Not somebody sitting in a little stage with a little red and green light up on a stool, kind of kicked back and kind of just talking about things. That's not what John the Baptist came as. And I pray to God Dale the Baptist never gets to that either. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that John the Baptist in those days came preaching. Notice what he came preaching in verse number 2, saying, now, if you folks don't mind me saying, I don't want to offend nobody. God knows the last thing I want to do is make an enemy. Now, you might want to consider there's another way of doing what you're doing. You know, it's really hard for me to say anything's wrong. I don't know that there's really any right or wrong. I mean, after all, you know, evil's in the eye of the beholder. What? What? That's what we're hearing today, brethren. You listen to all folks, and they listen. They take 50 words to say nothing. Nothing. You know what John the Baptist did? John the Baptist in verse number 2, look at it now. This is preaching. He said, repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Time is short. You better get right with God. Amen. Amen. That's what old John the Baptist preached. Amen. That's the kind of preaching you need to hear. Amen. That's the kind of preaching we need to hear, brethren. Amen. Look at it now. He went on down. He began to quote the prophets, Isaiah. He said, this is the one crying in the wilderness. You think that's teaching? You think Isaiah, when he was describing John the Baptist, you think he's describing a teacher here, one crying in the wilderness, crying out with urgency, crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and his leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. The Bible says, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You know why? Because the Bible says, if you'll notice in verse number 7, it says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. He said, Abraham's not going to get you to heaven. You've got to make a personal decision to trust God. You see, this is preaching right here. This is preaching right here. We're not hearing a lot of this today, are we, brethren? You need preaching. I need preaching. All God's children needs preaching. Can you say amen? Amen. You say, well, you know, that was John. Yeah, I know. Listen, we could read on down through here, and I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to read it sometime. But now go over to chapter number 4 just for a moment and look at verse number 17. Now, if you're not careful, you'll watch these Hollywood productions of who Jesus is, and he'll be this sissy-looking something, I don't know, transvestite, you know, got hair flowing, black hair, blue eyes, his baby soft skin, and just so soft-spoken. Now, fella, you know, gather the disciples around. We're going to go into Galilee, and I'm going to teach. Baloney. Right. That's not who our Savior was. Listen to me. Amen. Jesus was a preacher. Amen. He was a preacher. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say that Jesus taught? He done both. Notice what the Bible says. Look, you're in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. From that time, all right? From that time, the Bible says, I'm in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 17, Jesus began to preach. Did you get that? You say, well, I think what it means is teach. No, it means what it says. Right. Preach. Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Jesus preaching. Just so you'll know, and then we'll get back to Nehemiah and close. Look in verse 23. Of Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew 4 verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See, Jesus did teach, but he done some preaching too. And you need some teaching, but you need some preaching too. We all need preaching. I need preaching. You need preaching. Somebody needs to press upon us the urgency of obeying the Word of God. Amen. If we're left to ourselves, brethren, we're in a bad way. See, God gave the gift of the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist to the local church to help us in order that we might serve Him in a way that would honor Him and that would benefit us, right? That's why God sent me to you. I hope you understand that. Amen. That's why God sends preachers and teachers to the local church to help. We're all in this together. And everyone has a role and everyone has a part. You need to find your role and find your part and get with it. Amen. God's way. We'll go back and close in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. So, we've seen the man. We've seen the method. All right? You know what Ezra did? He mounted the pulpit. That's what the old timers used to call it. Because the pulpit used to have a little step where they would step up into it. And I mean, man, they mount the pulpit and they would preach. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that Ezra, the scribe, stood upon a pulpit of wood. He mounted the pulpit. There were the two reasons that he mounted the pulpit. So that he could be seen. The Bible says, if you'll notice, it gives us very, very clear instruction on verse number 5. He opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was elevated so all the people could see him. Many people there. And so he mounted the pulpit, got up on that pulpit of wood so that all the people could see him. But two, so that his voice would carry and all the people could hear him. Now that's your real sight and sound. Somebody say amen. You don't have to drive to Pennsylvania for sight and sound. You can get it right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. God's way. It's God's way. I'm telling you. Bible preaching is God's way. You ought to teach your children one of the most important things in their life is Bible preaching. You ought to listen to Bible preaching often in your life, with your family, in your vehicle. You say, well, I like good gospel music. I do too. But I like gospel preaching better. Amen. Can I ask you how much preaching you listen to a week? That'll usually determine about what your spirituality is. You say, well, I get it on Sunday morning, sometimes on Sunday night, preacher. You need to get more Bible preaching than that. I know I need more than that. You love Bible preaching? I hope that you do. Faithful exposition. Notice what happened. The Bible says, and this is where we'll close, all right? I'm going to give you a couple of things and we'll be done tonight. So here's Ezra, the man. Then we've seen the method, preaching. But now his preaching was teaching things. I want you to see this. So the Bible says that he blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people said, amen, amen. But you know what? When a man will preach the Bible, it does something to people. Notice what it did to them. Look down, if you would. In verse number 8, the Bible says they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. He and the others begin to break it down to the people. That's what good expositional preaching is. It's just laying it bare. It's opening it up, saying this word means this. This is what this phrase is saying. This is how God is directing and it's making sense of it. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm going to show you in just a moment. It's very important. Very important. As a matter of fact, if I ever preach something and you say, I don't understand that, please come to me. Please come to me. Because you're not going to benefit from something you don't understand. I'm going to show you what the Bible says right here now. This is really, really important. There used to be times I would leave a church service after hearing preaching I didn't understand. And I thought, oh, well, maybe another time. I won't do that anymore by the grace of God. I haven't done it for years. There's been times that people stood right here and preached something. I'd go to them and say, you know, I heard you say this or that. Let's talk about that. I'm not sure, you know, where was that going? And not questioning them, but trying to find out the sense of it. You see what God said here? The sense, and cause them to understand the reading. You need to understand what God's saying. Why? Because he's going to hold you accountable. Listen to me now. God's going to hold you accountable. And the scripture goes on to say, in verse number 9, that they were those there that taught the people. You see that in verse number 9, right in the middle? The scribes, the Ezra the scribe and the Levites taught the people. They're opening up the scriptures. They're teaching them the meaning. They're giving them the meaning and the sense of what God is saying. When they began to do that, the Bible says in verse number 9 that all the people, what? Wept. That's contrition. God is convicting some hearts here. When you have an understanding of the preached word of God, God will do a work in your heart. He will. And the Bible says they wept and they mourned when they heard the words of the law. You see that in verse number 9? And then the Bible goes on to say that Ezra said unto them, look at verse 10, go your way, don't miss this now, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them of whom nothing is prepared, for this day is an holy day unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now what just happened? Ezra said, all right, I've preached to you. I've read to you. I've preached to you. I've made you understand it. Now, go do it. Go do it. See, a lot of times people come to church. I've been guilty. And we'll listen to the preaching. We'll understand the preaching. And then we'll think, well, that's it. No, it's not. It's not it until you've done it. It's not it until I've done it. Right? Could you imagine going to your job tomorrow and your foreman saying, okay, I want you to do this. And you kind of look like, You ever get that look, you know, when somebody tells you to do something? So they explain it to you. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. You say, okay, I got it. But then you didn't do it. You can't do that with church either. You can't do that with God's Word. Once God tells us what to do and we understand it, God expects us to do it. Amen. And so Nehemiah said, okay, you know now, right? He said, now go do it. Is that what he said? He said, I want you to go do it. Go do it. I want you to answer this question in your heart. Are you filled with joy tonight? Is your Christian experience a Christian experience that's filled with joy? Is your life joyful? Now, the devil may be telling you, well, your life's not joyful because of this, or your life's not joyful because of this. I think I know the reason that a lot of people, a lot of professing Christians' lives are not joyful, and I want you to follow. It's right here. So, he said, I want you to go do this. Verse number 11, the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for today is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth. What did they do, brethren? Somebody tell me what they just did. They just did what they were told to do. Read verse 10. Ezra said, this is what I read to you, this is what it means, and this is what I want you to do. I want you, look at verse 10 again now. He said unto them, Ezra, to the people that he read the book of the law to, he said, I want you to go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send the portions of them that are without. Is that what he said? He said, this is what I want you to do. And then the Bible says, in verse number 11, or verse number 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. In other words, they did what the preacher preached to them from the Word to do. Right? Is that right, brethren? Now, how could they do that? Don't miss this next statement. Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You can't do what God's telling you to do if you don't understand what He wants you to do. Amen. That's why you need Bible preaching. That's why you need the book open, the book preached, the book taught, so you can obey, so I can obey. Right? This will be my final scripture. So the Bible says that they did it. They did what they were told to do. What was the result? Well, I could go through this, but I just want to close with this. This is where we'll close. Look at the latter part of verse number 17. And there was very great gladness. You know who happy people are? An obedient people. See, there are Christians in our churches today, maybe some here tonight, I don't know. They've been robbed of their joy. They have no joy because they're living in open, deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. God's Word has been read. God's Word has been preached. You have understood what God said to do, and you haven't done it. And that's just not good, all right? Now, I'm not fussing at anyone. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. I'm not being a smart aleck here. I love you. You know this. I'm your pastor. I've been many of your pastors for ever since I've been here. Some of you gotten saved in this ministry. We've tried to do nothing but help you. And I'm trying to help you tonight. I want you to experience the fullness of God's joy in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. When God shows you through the preaching and teaching of His Word what to do, and you understand and you do not do, it's not going to be a good thing. You're not going to have joy in your life. God doesn't give joy and blessing to disobedience. All right? So I want you to understand that. Faithful exposition. When God sends a man to preach to you, He doesn't do it just so we can all say, amen, amen, and then leave and do what we want to do. God does it because He expects obedience. Is that right, church? God expects us to obey His word. And somehow we've missed that. We've missed out, and we just felt like, well, you know what, I'll do some of it. No, God expects us to do His word, to keep His commandments. Jesus said, blessed are ye, not if you know them, but if you do them. Right? See, we think that God is really concerned that we are happy. Now, God wants you to be happy. But more than God wants you to be happy, God wants you to be holy. There is no happiness now apart from holiness. Don't think you can live any way you want and have the joy of the Lord in your life. It will not happen. God has some expectations. Let's stand to our feet. Now, we talked about worship, a worshipful congregation. I mean, these people were worshiping, all right? And then we talked about faithful exposition, preaching the word. You get it here all the time. We have men come in, the pastors preach to you. There's teaching. And I know that many of you are grateful. There's very few people that attend Fellowship Baptist Church that doesn't come to me and say, you know what, I want to thank you for the preaching that you as our pastor, for our assistant pastors, for our guest speakers. We're blessed. And I think you realize that. We're blessed. We are. The word of God is preached here. But now that's going to hold us to a standard too, brethren. All right? It's going to hold us to a standard. So I want you to understand. The word of God is preached. You hear it. You understand it. But that's not where it ends. Now we must obey it. That's where the joy comes in. All right? Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask you a question tonight.